Hello, I'm Peter Goodwin with audio news from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. If you stop your cancer clinical trial early before you've accrued the pre-planned sample size, especially if you're using surrogate endpoints, there's a risk of obscuring clinical facts. That's according to findings just published in the Annals of Oncology. At a briefing in London, I talked with one of the investigators, Giovanni Apolloni.
We were able to identify at least 25 papers describing 25 trials. They were stopped early because of utilization of interim analysis. What we were able to see was that in the last 10 years, there was an increase in utilization of interim analysis, and it was done most of the time for apparent benefit. It means that the analysis suggested to stop the trial because the treatment under evaluation were in somewhat more effective than planned, so it was possible to terminate to stop the trials.
Now that would be absolutely wonderful, wouldn't it? Great news if all of these agents, trastuzumab is on the list, so is lapatinib, sorafenib, bevacizumab, many significant drugs that are now being investigated are on your list, and if they were all shown to be highly effective and therefore justifying a very early stopping of the trial, that would be wonderful news, wouldn't it?
I think that it could be a wonderful news, but our concern is that because the type of statistical methods used in interim analysis, most of the time, this is well documented by other researchers, most of the time there is a sort of overestimation of the magnitude of the effect. It means that when the decision was taken in a situation where if there were some kind of effects, this effect was overestimated. Because the trial was stopped, we do not have any opportunity to check or replicate these kind of results with other studies or later on.
Now, one case in point might well be bevacizumab, which is now becoming extremely popular in a number of applications. Are you worried about the fact that it's getting very much used, even though some of the studies may have been stopped early?
Our concern is about the utilization of this kind of methodology in general, because we were able to document that there was an increase in utilization, and because we know that from a statistical point of view and a clinical point of view, this could generate an overestimation, we are very concerned. For a given drug, a given example like you have done, maybe we should discuss in details the specific situation, because in this case it was possible later on with other data accumulated over time or with other studies to document that the early preliminary result would eventually confirm it. But this is not the case in other situations, and also still the use of this methodology should be recognized as important but potentially quite dangerous.
Another one on your list is trastuzumab, which surely has well justified itself by now.
Yes, it's true, but if I well remember, when the trial was stopped early because of the interim analysis, there was among the environment or researchers, methodologists, statisticians, a lot of discussion about the opportunity to stop. If you stop, you need to replicate and accumulate other information. Our concern, our argument is that most of the time it is not needed to stop, just you can wait.
What do you think is the danger then in allowing the present situation with many, many early stopping of trials happening to continue?
I think that the very effect of this kind of situation is that at the very end, when policy decision makers have to take important decisions about the cost, the price, and the reimbursement, because of the small clinical trial, of the use of surrogate endpoint, or the stop of trial given the utilization of interim analysis, at the very end, they will not have enough information to make decision according to the risk-benefit and the cost-effectiveness.
That was Giovanni Apolloni of the Mario Negri Institute in Milan. These new findings hinge on the use of statistics and the work of the independent data monitoring committees that rigorously assess the validity of results from, for instance, an interim analysis. At the London briefing on this new research, statistician Stuart Pocock gave me his opinion about the findings in the Annals of Oncology publication.
It is of concern because trials that stop early, particularly if they're not all that large, will tend to have exaggerated the true treatment effect. And if they'd gone on longer, they perhaps would have come up with more solid evidence as to just how big the effect might have been.
Now, you are a statistician, so you understand statistics. A lot of researchers possibly don't apply rigorous statistics. Is that the problem?
To some extent, I think some trials, they will probably all have statisticians involved. It depends how near the statisticians are to making the decisions. And it could be some of the clinical investigators get over-enthusiastic about trends towards a new treatment looking better. And so they might not make the wisest judgments, not being so statistically minded.
Do you have any concerns now that you've heard the evidence presented by Dr. Apolloni?
Yes, I do. I think there's a process of educating investigators, drug companies, regulatory authorities, and the public at large to be more wise in the way they interpret trials that stop early, and to educate people who are involved not to stop such trials so soon, and to wait for, you really need proof beyond reasonable doubt that a new treatment is of benefit before you should stop a trial early.
But how do you restrain the natural impulses of doctors and healthcare professionals in trying to do good by getting a drug which seems to be working well out into the marketplace?
A process of education, sometimes long and drawn out. I think there are success stories. So, for instance, in cardiovascular disease trials, I think the investigators have learnt about you need a large totality of evidence before you make a claim. And so in some disease areas, I think we're there. Why wisdom does exist. In others, this jumping the gun may still be a practice where we need to work on educating people to do better.
That was Stuart Pocock, Professor of Medical Statistics at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. For the school's audio news programme, I'm Peter Goodwin.